What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? We're back. That's another Miami Dolphins first down. We are here. I got the busiest man on the planet, Josh Moser. It's that time of year, man. You are everywhere right now. First of all, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. How you been?
I know. Running around like a chicken with my head cut off, but have the best job in the world. So we've got the Panthers in the playoffs right now in hockey. We've got the Heat in the playoffs. They're in Boston with the Celtics. Obviously, the NFL draft this week. We've got Messi still here. And, just an exciting time, special time for South Florida sports fans. And, you know, a lot of people are very excited about what this Dolphins team is going to do this upcoming season. And it's all about the draft right now. They're loaded with picks. This is the first time they've had a first-round pick since they selected Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. They're excited about that. They have the full litany of picks. So there's ammunition to maybe move up, maybe move back, get more picks. So should be an exciting few days here coming up at the end of the week.
All right. So I know this is a Miami Dolphins show, and we always talk Miami Dolphins for about 30 seconds each. I just want you to talk about briefly, because you're doing it and we're Miami and we support all Miami teams. What is the first round matchup going to be like? 8-1, Heat versus Celtics, because look, that's a rivalry right there, man. What is that going to look like?
I mean, it's tough without Jimmy Butler for the Heat, but these two teams have been the biggest rivalry, arguably, in the Eastern Conference in recent years. You have back-to-back Eastern Conference finals, and you have the Heat winning last year with Caleb Martin, played out of his mind the year before. You know, it was an unfortunate loss for the Heat, but this team will go as far as Jimmy Butler takes them. And the MCL, he was a warrior just to play that game, to get through it against the 76ers. And then you saw what they did against the Bulls. And then obviously here starting early in the series against the Celtics. But look, the Celtics are picked to win. I think it's going to be really difficult to win four games against this team. So you hope for the best. You hope that Tyler Hero can finally have a great postseason after he hurt himself in the first game of the Bucks series last year to start things off. So, you know, it's his team now, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully he can hold it down until Jimmy gets back. And then
he is the captain now. Okay.
He is the captain now. Yeah. And then you need more out of Bam. I mean, Bam's got to play well. He's your Olympian. Mm-hmm. He's your all-star. He's great defensively, but you've got to have him be more productive on the offensive end.
And over in Sunrise, they are playing the in-state rivalry, which has been, I think, the Western Conference Finals, what, 2 out of the last 5 years, or if I'm correct, or Eastern Conference Finals, Tampa Bay versus Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, well, Tampa's been very good, and they bounced the Panthers in the playoffs twice, and then last year, luckily, like, you know, they didn't have to see them. So they've been their kryptonite, but this is what you want. You've got two really good teams. I love the coach over there, Cooper. He's phenomenal, but this team has been built for the playoffs. The Panthers, they switched up their defense this offseason after making the Stanley Cup Finals. I think they are primed for a deep run. I expect them to win this series in less than 7 games, and we should see them moving on into the next round. It was interesting because Boston lost before they got into the playoffs, and then basically the Panthers were all set to play the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, they were preparing for them, and all of a sudden Boston loses it at the end. So now here we are in the Tampa series. So very exciting time for Florida hockey fans.
Not a lot of travel. That's good. I always like playoff games where you don't have to do a lot of travel, and that's going to be them.
There's no snow. You got no weather issues. So you know, I think both teams are happy. But, I mean, look, you got to win. I mean, this team is built for now. Bill Zito, in my opinion, is the best general manager in hockey.
I agree.
And he is now the assistant general manager of Team USA moving forward. So they just signed him to a long-term extension. I think he's done phenomenal things. And now with this new practice facility, just like the Dolphins got the brand new practice facility, this is a destination for a lot of players to come and play. And remember, there's no state taxes in Florida. So
I think, Josh, I'm telling you right now, South Florida is the place all athletes want to come to. You want to play for Pat Riley. You want to play for, you know, Zito. You want to play with Messi. You want to play with Tua. I'm just saying, we got everything here, Josh.
If the Marlins can figure their stuff out, it would be the best sports city in the country, hands down.
If they could figure it out. Look, it's early in the year. Got a whole summer to go. All right, let's move on. This is a very big week. A lot of content creators doing a lot of different stuff when it comes to mock drafts. And you have covered 3 NFL football teams. What is the week or week, you know, 2 weeks leading up to the draft like for GMs and head coaches? Tell me what is going on behind the scenes in the war room.
So everyone's still trying to get their board ready. Realistically, up until about draft day, Wednesday, Thursday is mm-hmm. when they will finally finalize things. So starting from the combine, the last week of February, really this whole last month of March and April, there have been pro days. So now teams are really figuring out who are their top players in each round of the draft. So for the Dolphins, for example, at 21, you know, they have three or four guys that they think will be there that they really like, that they're like, okay, we would be good with any of these three players. So a lot of what's been happening is the scouts have been coming in with all of their evaluations. You've had the 30-minute visits, well, the 30-man visits with all of the teams. So they're bringing in players. You're actually getting to talk to them. Because of the combine, they do these 15-minute interviews, and you're sitting in front of 10 executives, and you're a 22-year-old kid, 23, some are 21, and it's just like you're told what to say from your agent. So those 15-minute interviews, like, really don't, like, it allows you to, like, actually meet the person, but you really don't get much out of it. It's such a small sample size of what that person really is. So based off that first impression, you're diving into the family history, you're diving into the medical history. All the scouts are talking to as many people as possible to find out the most information about these players, because, I mean, these are million-dollar investments, and you need to find cornerstone pieces in this draft. I mean, if you look at all of the teams that have been really good, the best example is when they had the Legion of Boom in Seattle. When you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, you can go and you can spend money. But when you can get these players that are on rookie deals, specifically in their second and third seasons, to be really good, that's when a team elevates from a playoff team to a Super Bowl contender. And we saw the first iteration, the best example of that right now, is the Houston Texans. Nobody expected them to be where they're at. Yep. And now this year, they're going to be a force in that division. It just got so
Tank Dell on one side and Stephon Diggs on the other, with CJ Stroud having a second year and another and a year in the NFL under his belt. That's going to be a scary team, and we get to play them this year.
We do, and I mean, you hope that Richardson can be healthy in Indy, but we're talking about the AFC being loaded. So mm-hmm. when you're looking at draft picks, and they're always going to tell you take the best player available, you have to get to the quarterback. And Christian Wilkins is a huge loss. And then the hope is Jalen Phillips says he's going to be ready to go week one. You hope that Bradley Chubb's ready around that same time. But, you know, you've got to get guys, big guys that can move. Those are the guys that are few and far between. So those are your special players, and you've got to land on at least two of those at some point early in this draft if you're Chris Greer, in my opinion.
I agree. Let's kind of dive into Chris Greer a little bit. So the last couple of years, the media, the fans, you know, obviously we're always worried about the interior line, offensive line, or the offensive line, period. And for the last couple of years, McDaniel, as well as Greer, have been saying, you and the media are worried about it, not us, right? And so one of the things that's been asked a million times and will be till the day we have the draft is, hey, you know, where do you think you guys will go? What are you guys leaning to? And I understand teams aren't going to say anything publicly. They're going to hold their cards, you know, close to them. They're not going to show anybody their hand. But when Chris Greer says we're going to take best player available, you've covered Chris Greer now for a few years. Should I take him at his word, or do you think that they have something planned in mind for where they might go?
It's a little bit of both. You obviously,
a loaded question. I know I asked you a loaded question there.
So the way that you kind of break this down is everybody has a ranking system. Everybody's draft board's going to look different. Like, you just have to realize that that's the case. Outside of Caleb Williams going one, you know, everybody's board could be different. You could have the wide receiver Daniels going two to Washington. You could have three quarterbacks off the top. So it's all going to look different. Understand that. So in every team, if you break it down, specifically I'm talking about Elliot Wolf here, who's with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Worked with him in Green Bay. Alonzo Highsmith down here at the U's, also now back with the Patriots. But everybody grades players in a different way. And there's multiple facets that go to that, everything based off of your combine times, your game film, and then your personality. You're looking for certain types of players. So specifically, defensively with Anthony Weaver and the Ravens, how they've always done things on defense. They want long, rangy, athletic players. That's how their defense has been built, and that's how they've found success. So they have prototypical type players that they're looking for a specific scheme. Where the Dolphins have struggled is that they haven't had any continuity at defensive coordinator. So now here you have Weaver. He's identified with Chris Greer what he wants to run, what fits the team best given the pieces that they have and what they're looking to add. So you're looking for one or two top players that are going to fit that mold if they're available at 21. That's what they mean by best player available. But you're also looking, you know, for a position of need. So for some reason, throwing this out there, it's not going to happen. That's why I'm going to use it as an example. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is somehow available at 21, yes, you don't need a wide receiver, but if he's there, you're going to take him.
He's the only one that I would be willing to do that for. And seeing as he's never going to get to 21, Josh.
He's never going to get there. So if he somehow falls, that's a guy that you're not going to let go at 21. So that's what they talk about.
But the Laremy Tunsil deal is a perfect example, right? Nobody thought Laremy Tunsil was going to be there for the Dolphins, and he dropped like a brick.
It's a perfect example. So there's a player that, you know, obviously everybody's seen the photo that has turned into a litany of players now for the Dolphins after a couple of years. But there's a guy that fell and that was available. You're going to go take that player. And then if you get to 21 and your two or three guys that you were hoping to get are still there, that's where you're going to trade down. Because you said, oh, we can still get one of these three guys that we love. We're going to go get some more ammunition for later. So that's what they talk about by taking the best player available. But yes, you're looking for positions of need, but you're looking to take the best player, let alone at those positions. And then overall, it just depends on how the board falls. So that's the dance that you have to do.
I'd be interested to know in the last 5 years, picks 20 through 25, how many trades there's been in the NFL. That's something I'll have to look up and put on Twitter, because I'd like to know what the value is for a pick 21, depending on who, you know, what teams are coming in. Because look, one of the best bets in Vegas is who trades for that very last pick of the first round. Does it get traded? And I tell you, it happens more often than not where people try to get into the first round and get that person because they want that extra year of eligibility with that person, right? So
sure, the fifth year.
Yep. And so I'm interested to know, with us sitting at 21, let's say there are three or four guys, you still have to worry about what teams are going to want to jump up to 21. If a team's sitting at 24 and we were like, well, hey, we'll trade three spots back, is that team sitting at 24 willing to trade up to 21? You know,
are 100%.
What are they willing to give up? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, if they're offering a first round pick for me to move back three spots, I'm taking that all day long.
Yeah, I agree.
But it also depends on where you are at in your build. So I would be more likely to trade a first round pick with the Carolina Panthers, who I know realistically aren't going to be a factor right away, versus, I mean, you know, depending on, I don't want to trade with anybody in my division.
It happens.
So it depends. It all depends on how the board falls.
Yeah.
And who the trade partner is. But if they offer you a king's ransom, if you have an offer they can't refuse, you've got to take it. But it also depends on, you know, how much they're willing to give up and then where you're at in your build. For me right now, we've talked about this. They have a year. This is it. Like, this is the season. This is it. And most likely this Tua extension is going to get done. They've stopped talks until the draft. So they're not going to, but I would expect this thing to get announced, you know, most likely around July. I believe that both sides will come to an agreement, and that gets you a little bit more flexibility. And remember, you got a little bit more money coming your way once Xavier Howard's money's off the books the 1st of June. So the draft is the next step, and they're going to try to plug as many holes as they can. And let's hope that they pick the right guys, because this team, for the most part, has drafted pretty well and put on first round picks. I mean, your last two of them, Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips, you hit big. So, I mean, those are two bona fide stars. And Phillips, unfortunately, with the injury, but you got to hit again here at 21.
So the Dolphins picks, we have six picks in this draft. Pick round one, 21. Pick round two, pick 55. We would have had a third round pick this year, and it would have been pick number 86, but some tampering charges, you know, just something that kind of, you know, happened to us. We got a little slap on the wrist, so we don't have that. So we don't pick again till the fifth round, and that's pick 158. And then we have 2 6-round picks and a 7th-round pick. There are so many fans and there's so many people in the media that think that if the Dolphins can trade back and gain more draft capital, that is their best move. But what happens if a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson or, you know, Fontenot or somebody that they love is there at 21 and they have an offer on the table? Do you take that player that you know is going to be a starter day one and make a difference in your team? Or do you say, you know what, let's gamble, let's trade back, let's hope there's somebody else there that can be, you know, just as good or you know, close to it, and we gain more draft capital? How does a GM or head coach gain that, and what type of conversations are involved there?
It just depends on the offer, you know, and some GMs and some head coaches, if this guy is available at this point in time, we're going to take that guy.
Yeah.
Point in case is Devon Achane last year. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this. Mike McDaniel wanted to take him in the second round. Instead, they went with Cam Smith, who had a first-round grade from a lot of teams based off of his physical attributes and his game film at South Carolina. And then they said, look, if Achane is there in the third round, they took him. And he was a difference maker when he was healthy. By the way, he looks so beefed up. Have you seen a picture of him?
I have, dude. He looks big.
Yeah, he said this is his first year that he's actually been able to put on size because he's not running track. So, Dolphins fans, I'm telling you, they aren't taking any running backs right now. So, if you want a running back early.
I said that. I've been preaching that.
Not taking any running backs. So, and remember, you still have Chris Brooks, too. So, they're loaded at running back. But, yeah, it all depends on the offer. But if it's your guy and it's your guy, you're going to go with your gut. And, you know, I'm much more of I'm going to go with my guy. If I'm in that chair and I'm making a decision and my guy is there, I'm thinking of the movie, you know, Draft Day is a great way to think about it. You know,
that meme like has been floating around social media. What's his face? What was his name in the movie? What was the character's name? God, I can't think of the name. And people are watching this right now saying, Steven,
I think it's Vontae
Mack, no matter what. Vontae Mack, no matter what. Look at you, Josh. You know your movies. Good job.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, but I mean, that movie's obviously, you know, highly dramatized. But the war rooms are those types of conversations. You got somebody on the phone saying, hey, I want to move here. You know, this is what I'm willing to give you. And then they have a conversation like, okay. And then you can bet everybody's standing up and cheering and they feel like, you know, they got their guy. Just like the fans feel like they got their guy, unless you're a New York Jets fan and you're like constantly booing on whoever they draft, no matter what. So it's always a fun night. And I'll be the team facility on Thursday night. So we're in a separate room, unfortunately. So we'll have a camera.
You don't get the inside. You don't get the inside. Yeah. I get it. I understand.
Keeping us media folk a little. We're there, but we're not quite
there. Not quite there. Let me ask you, if Jackson Powers Johnson is there at 21, and it seems like a lot of Dolphins fans would love to go in that direction, or and there's a few other names that are there with that, and the Dolphins were to pick over them for somebody else. I go back to Ted Ginn Jr. for us. We're sitting there at number 9. We're ready to take a quarterback. We're there, primed for the taking. And with the 9th overall pick out of the Ohio State, Ted Ginn Jr., and fans lost it, myself included, right? Do we need to have faith that Chris Greer is going to make the right decision to be able to put this team in the best chance to win a Super Bowl next year?
Yeah, but I mean, look, for the most part, you know, you're hoping to get a starter at 21. Like, it's not like you've got a top 5 pick.
I know. I get that.
You know, you're hoping that this person can come in and this person can be a quality starter. So let's temper the expectations. The people that are going to lead this team to a Super Bowl, it's not a rookie. It's Tyreek. It's Tua. It's Raheem Mostert. It's Bradley Chubb. It's Jalen Ramsey. You know, those are the people.
But that Josh shoring up that offensive line, or getting a person to be able to replace on the defensive line to Christian Wilkins, or maybe another pass rusher, they could have a huge impact on the win-loss record.
Of course they can. I mean, there's a guy out of Miami here that's with the Bills, Greg Rousseau. You know, he was an impact end of first round pick, kind of in the same range of where we're picking. But it wasn't him that's, you know, going to lead the Bills. It's a Matt Milano. Like, it's a nice piece. So you're hoping for a contributing starter, and then you're hoping that he can stay healthy, and then you're hoping that he can grow, you know, once you get to November and to November, because you're talking about playing a completely different type of football game in November than you are in September. A lot of it's still dumbed down early in the season because you also don't want to show your cards. So, you know, it's a long, long season, and you're just hoping to find the right fit, the right personality, and then you just got to get lucky with the medical history. And you got to get lucky and hope that the player stays healthy throughout the entire year. That's really all you're looking for.
I want to talk about some mid-round draft picks. You know, look, the Dolphins do have to probably – odds are they're probably going to draft a wide receiver in those mid-round picks, right? And a couple of names I want to throw out there. One of them I'm related to, which I think is hilarious, is Brandon Rice, Jerry Rice's son. 6'2", 208, played out of USC. What do you think about somebody like Brandon Rice or Luke McCaffrey, you know, Christian McCaffrey's little brother, another wide receiver, 6'2", 198. What do you think about these two guys maybe being there in pick five, or if we trade back and gain a fourth round pick or another fifth rounder, what do you think about guys like that? And could they be a 3 or 4 wide receiver for this team?
You hope that they can be a number four. Well, let's start with McCaffrey simply because his brother's on staff. Yeah. And, you know, there's a good connection there. And the pedigree will obviously land him in a drafted position. The same with, you know, Jerry Rice's son. You know that I went to USC, so I'm going to advocate, you know, for the pick as well. And, of course, he's a cousin. So
he's my cousin.
We gotta,
I'm just saying.
We got to be on the Steven Daniels train. Austin Kizer. And we got Pelia, the only USC guy. So the more Trojans we have in the room, you know, personally, the better that I feel. But McCaffrey's more of a slot receiver. And you kind of have that already in River Craycraft. And you have that already in Braxton Berrios. Braxton's more of a return specialist. So it could be a little bit more of a project. But, again, you've got his brother in the building. And you know that he's going to be a good addition to the locker room. Same with Jerry Rice. You want Jerry Rice around your program no matter what. But the question is, can he win the number four receiver spot? Who's the number three right now? Are we talking Eric Azukama as three? Is that what we're going?
He's got to step up, Josh. I've said this on multiple shows. Until he shows me that he can dress on Sunday and know the playbook, I'm not putting him at number three or four on the roster yet. I'm just not. He hasn't shown me yet that he can do it.
Right. So to me, it makes a little bit more sense to go the Rice route simply because of his size. Because if you look at Tyreek and Waddle, you know, you've got your smaller guys. You're looking for versatility. So you're looking for a longer, rangier receiver. So they just need a bigger guy. But again, I think with the addition of Jonnu Smith and the tight end from Kansas City and with Durham Smythe being
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more 12 personnel. I just really think we're going to double tight end set a lot more than we've seen in the past because it allows you to control the clock. And
weren't you the one that said that, you know, if you go back and look at San Francisco 49ers third year, they started integrating. I think you were the one who told me that.
That was me.
Prior show. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, it goes back to sometimes this team is so explosive. I mean, the fans love it and we all love it and fantasy football loves it. But when you're talking about winning football games, especially late in the season, you've got to control the clock and your defense has been gassed on this team. So unless you're putting up 40 plus, you know, a game, you've got to figure out a way to run the football more, have a little bit more balance. And I think that Mike McDaniel has really figured that out. And that's been a point of emphasis this offseason. And then with Tua dropping the 15 pounds in weight, you have a little bit more mobility. And I think that you're hoping to see him move around a little bit more in the pocket. But yeah, I would expect this team with Johnny to go a little bit more 12 personnel. And they also realize they don't really have a third wide receiver. Again, Odell Beckham Jr.'s name has been floated. We know that no deal has been done. Everything's going to be on hold depending on how the draft board falls. But he's certainly a name to pay attention to you know, here later in the season. And I'm going to throw out another name, you know, depending on the money and what he commands, is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And I know that, you know, fans might
MVS.
You know, I covered him in Green Bay. He was great in the playoffs last year for KC. You know, struggled in the regular season with drops. But, I mean, he's a guy, if we're talking about Mike McDaniel and speed and somebody that can stretch the field, like, could you imagine him on a go route with Tyreek and Waddle doing crossing route?
And by the way, that man has caught a big touchdown pass in a huge game. So having somebody like that with that experience on your roster, you can't – that's something that you can't buy. You know, that it,
You're talking three guys with a 4.3 speed. Are you out of your – like, how are you going to stop that with Jonnu Smith underneath, Jordan Smythe underneath? Raheem Mostert in the flat, Devon Achane, who can
and with them both beefed up now, who knows what he's going to be like, you know?
Yeah, fastest show on surf, baby.
I love it. I love it. All right, let's talk about some mock drafts around media outlets and just kind of how we view them. CBS Sports Ryan Wilson has us taking Brock Bowers. Real quick, what do you think about that tight end with the first pick? I'm not a huge fan of that, but it is Brock Bowers.
Yeah, I don't even think he's going to be there at 21, to be honest with you, with the ACL injury, you know, included. I mean, he's the number one tight end on the board. This is not a tight end dominant team. I just don't see him, as we talk about best player available versus fit, I just don't see him as a fit in this offense. So to me, Brock Bowers, as good of a player as he is, I don't think he's there at 21, but I would go a different direction. And if Brock Bowers is there at 21, you can rest assured that somebody's going to trade up to get him. Yeah, so that's an opportunity where I feel King's like ransom you could move back. Yeah, I think you could move back if Brock Bowers is still there because someone would want to take him.
Mel Kiper Jr. has us taking Graham Barton, offensive lineman out of Duke. What do you think about that? What do you think about Mel Kiper's pick?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're looking for offensive lineman, obviously. Teron Armstead is getting older and you're probably going to expect him to play, you know, hopefully 10 games, you know, this year. And we saw the struggles with the offensive line with Connor Williams going down last year and basically how they've had to shuffle and find guys that can play. But you're always looking for guys to protect Tua. We know that Austin Jackson's going to be there. And, you know, we know that Liam Eichenberg is probably going to move back to guard, but, you know, you're hoping that you can find a center. And, you know, we've talked about Peoples Jones. So, you know, hopefully he's there out of Oregon. I think he's a great fit for this team. He would be my selection if he's there. Yeah. But, you know, look, I'm all about finding an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman in the first round. There's enough players there. If you want to go the defensive side, I like Verse out of FSU. I know fans would love him. Now, that guy's a monster on the inside DT position.
Well, Pro Football Network, Trevor Sikkema, the Draft Network, Ryan Fowler, and CBS Sports' Josh Edwards all picked us picking Byron Murphy II, interior defensive lineman out of Texas.
Yeah, remember, they went down to Texas. Mike McDaniel was there. Chris Greer was there at their pro day. They loved him. They raved about him. They're hoping that he's there. He should be there. But I think that would be a great fit. You know, they brought in a litany of guys. You know, T.R. Tartt's the name that stands out. Went to FIU. And he's a true nose tackle, which this team really hasn't had. They tried to kind of turn Raekwon Davis into that. It just really wasn't a fit. He goes to Indy as a free agent. So, you know, look, you're looking for depth. Zach Sealer's really the only proven guy you have on the interior right now for the Dolphins on the defense. So I would love to see them bolster that position and especially, you know, having those two picks, first round, second round. I'm hoping that they can get a D lineman in one of those two spots.
Marcus Mosher out of the 33rd team, the network over there. He has us picking Cooper DeJean, defensive back out of Iowa. What do you think about us taking a DB with that first pick? That's an interesting one. Not too many people picking us with going in the secondary there.
Yeah, I mean, and Cooper's a story in himself out of Iowa. I mean, he's probably the best white cornerback that we've seen.
Jason Sehorn, baby!
into the draft. And I mean, he, you know, fans love that. I mean, look, this team needs a DB. And, you know, we know that we took Cam Smith high last year. And, you know, they're going to need to see growth from him. You're hoping that Anthony Weaver can find a spot for him. Vic Fangio was not a fan of him during his rookie year. Yeah. But you need guys that can play on an island. And that dude's out of Iowa. I mean, he tested through the roof.
He did.
And but again, I think he's kind of like a Brock Bowers situation. I think you have bigger areas of need. And if he's on the board and somebody's willing to trade, that's a move where you can trade back and you can go get somebody else. But I think I hope that he's has a great career. And I mean, he's certainly a fan favorite coming into this thing. But I think that there are other positions of need where you can acquire a pick and still get a really quality player would be the route that I would go there.
Last media pick that I find just funny and interesting is Joel Klatt out of Fox Sports. We know Joel. He's a great guy. We listen to him on Saturdays. He has us picking a quarterback, sir, out of Washington, Michael Penix Jr. What about the Dolphins taking Michael Penix at number 21? What do you think about that, Mr. Joel Klatt there?
I'm going to have to call Joel. We're going to have to talk about this. let me preface this by saying, remember, Joel was quarterback at CU. He was a Buffalo, so he's got, you know, I'm not going to say a bias, but
he's got a bias. We could say he's got a bias,
guy. So he's trying to get his guy to go in the first round. You know that I do a show with Drew Rosenhaus. So Drew's always, you know, in the ear of the media, you know, saying, you know, this guy's going to take my guy here, you know, trying to move these players up. What I think that's what Joel Klatt's doing. He wants to make sure his guy, you know, goes in the first round. I mean, look, you've got Skylar Thompson. You've got Mike White. You gave the biggest free agency quarterback contract to last year out of the entire free agent class. So I think you're pretty set there with the three. Again, you know, that's a situation where you know that Tua is going to be the guy. I think Joel's going on maybe the reason that, you know, if they're not going to pay Tua long term. But everything that we've heard, everything that's been said has pointed to this team signing Tua long term. So if that were not the case, then I could maybe see Penix, you know, being in the conversation.
Our third string quarterback started a playoff game in the NFL. Like, let's be real about it. And this is the last heave-ho probably for this regime if they epically fail. So I don't see them drafting a quarterback at 21.
No, I mean, look, we talked about it. This is the Super Bowl year for this team. I mean, this is it. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey's got outs after this year. Tyreek Hill's got outs after this year. Teron Armstead, this is probably his last year. So this is win now mode for the Dolphins, and taking a quarterback in the first round this year just simply doesn't help you enough, in my opinion.
I agree. All right, man. It's about that time. We're coming towards the close of the show. What does this week look like for you, Mr. Moser? What does this week look like for you on Thursday night for round one, Friday? Where can the people find you? And what do you got coming up on your shows this coming up Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff. We basically got our two insiders, Ethan Skolnick from the Five Reasons Sports. He does all our Heat stuff. He's very tapped in with Pat Riley, been covering the team for almost 30 years now. George Richards is our guy that does all of our hockey stuff, who is at the arena every single day. Phenomenal dude. So those are our kind of two insiders. And then we've got player guests coming on. We just had Jordan Poyer on. We've got Drew Rosenhaus every week kind of letting us know what he's got going with his players. He's got 12 players, I believe, now on the Dolphins. So that's the most for him on any single team. So he's got a lot of insight with a lot of guys, a few new guys as well. So we got Anthony Walker's from down here. Owns a really cool workout facility. We're going to be doing something at it. It's basically you work out in a sauna, and it's a cool concept. And man, I just love the group that this team is building with the personalities. And then with me, you're going to find me at the Friesen in the ice arena up in Sunrise. You're going to find me with the Heat. And then we're traveling for games. Just got back from Philly from the play-in game. So it's just go time.
Philly fans are different, aren't they? Philly fans are different. You can say it.
You know what? I mean, that PA system, for anybody that's been to the Wells Fargo Center, that is the loudest basketball arena. I think it's the PA system, but it is so loud it trumps Boston.
Are you, Josh, insinuating that there might be crowd noise pumped in? Is that what you're insinuating?
100%.
I agree. I 100% agree with that.
You pump in all the crowd noise you want. It makes the atmosphere great, but those fans are ruthless. And you love to play in an environment like that. I mean, you hope that Joel Embiid can be healthy. I love Tyrese Maxey. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA right now. But, you know, you hope that this Heat team can find it without Jimmy Butler.
Kyle Lowry, too. Kyle Don't forget Lowry. About former Miami Heat.
You know, he will be a Hall of Famer. And, man, the longevity he's had.
That's an interesting conversation. Kyle Lowry, a Hall of Famer. That's 100%. Interesting.
First ballot. Okay. I give it to him. Yeah, hands down. I mean, the longevity that he has had, he's 37 years old. I mean, he's been in the league 14, 15 years now.
And I know, he's still starting. Crazy.
Special.
That's crazy. 100%. All right, where can the people find you?
Maybe your guy LeBron will be a Hall of Famer.
You know? Hey. My man out here taking charge. I was really upset at the game on Saturday night. I'm not going to talk about it. You know, they had a 16-point lead at one point and blew it.
But hey, it happens to the Heat. It happens to the best of us. But people can find me at the Mo's Nose. I'm going to give a selfish plug. Want to give a quick shout out to the Florida Broadcast Journalism Association, naming me the Florida Broadcaster Sportscaster of the Year. So special thank you to you guys. Yeah. So I took home some hardware this past weekend in Orlando. So I'll be posting some stuff about that. So yeah, man.
Congratulations, so, man. Coming, you deserve man. It.
You're because of you, dude.
Oh, please. You are one of the best in not even just South Florida, but just in general. Your heart is so big, and you honor me with your presence anytime you come on the First Down podcast. And I love working with you, and I'm excited for what we have moving forward. But you deserve everything you get, and then some, man. It's going to be good.
Oh man, hey, we team, man, rise together.
I like so, it.
Thank
I like
you guys
it.
For putting up with me and watching all this stuff. Make sure to hit those subscribe buttons, and yeah, we're here every Tuesday.
Hey, you guys heard Josh Moser. Make sure you guys hit the like and subscribe button. Till the next time, this is That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down on Dolphins Talk. We'll see you next time. Peace.